Now, I do like it when the readings we have on a Sunday seem to fit so well with what's going on. Today, we have had the story of the wedding at Cana. And of course, we only just had Elena and Michael's wedding before Christmas. Is Elena here? Ah, hi, Elena. And then we've got Janice and Patrick's wedding next weekend. And weddings for all cultures and times were a great time of celebration. I was chatting with Margaret about weddings and the significance of them, and she thought she'd like to share us something from Elena and Michael's wedding.
Well, there were lots of great and wonderful things about Elena's and Michael's wedding, but one thing that reminded me of this story was on the Friday, the day before, because they were married on a Saturday, as people often are, they were due to have the Prosecco, the wine, delivered here. And we had the wedding rehearsal, didn't we, in the evening, and it hadn't showed up. There was a bit of panic. And of course, the thing is that when you are hosting a wedding, it's really important, isn't it, to want to provide hospitality to your guests. So there's a bit of a panic, and it just reminds me of what happened in this story. Unfortunately, Jesus wasn't present in person to do some amazing miracles, but you did manage the miracle of getting new, and maybe even better, resources of Prosecco here in time with a quick visit by the best man, I think, to a shop on the day. So that put me in mind of this story and what had happened quite recently.
Thank you, Margaret. Yes, I'm sure Elaine won't forget that part of the wedding preparations, because it could have been very embarrassing. And I think often we have strong memories of significant events like weddings because they connect with something more bigger and symbolic that make it stick out in our memories. And when I was reading this passage, I was also thinking about how our gospel stories were written in a similar manner, that they were usually written, you know, some years after the actual events. And they were the memories for the disciples, those who followed Jesus. They were the memories that really stuck out for them because they had great significance. And they normally contain some deeper symbolism and significance than just the immediate story details and events. And our story this morning, the wedding at Cana, is particularly rich with layers of meaning, as is John's Gospel in general, is very rich with symbolism in the stories. And I thought, well, I think it'd be really great to delve a bit deeper together this morning into that story, which can at first seem quite a straightforward story about a miracle of turning water into wine to provide for the guests. So, perhaps you might find it helpful to open your booklets and have a look at the story, because I'm going to refer to different parts of it. It begins with, on the third day. Now, does that remind you of anything? Any thoughts? Easter Sunday. Thank you, Kate. Exactly. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, and leading up to it, he often said the Son of Man would rise on the third day. So there's some kind of significance in that for the story we're about to read, something to do with the power of Jesus, who overcomes death, the evil that nailed him to the cross. It gives us a clue to the theme. Jesus' power inaugurated something new and special. Next, we read how Jesus' mother plays a significant role. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is concerned about the embarrassment that would occur if the wine ran out for the wedding guests. She has faith and confidence in her son. Yet Jesus replies in a very strange way, saying, "His hour has not yet come." Now, Mary may not have understood her son's reply, and it may have seemed like he wasn't going to help. But she doesn't lose faith in him and tells the servants to follow any instructions he gives. I was thinking Mary obviously had more authority over those servants than Jesus did. But then also, she shows us a model for our relationship with Jesus, that we must never lose confidence in him. Next, we have Jesus' instructions, which are very specific and recounted in detail. There was certainly someone there hearing all of this who related it to the gospel writer of this story. The stone jars that are to be filled with water were normally used for Jewish rites of purification, water used for ritual washing of oneself. Now, they were huge, containing up to 180 gallons altogether, and we hear how all this water was miraculously turned into the best wine. It was enough for all the guests, but you know, it could have been enough for two or three more weddings, to be honest, with that much wine. It was, and we are told, this was the first of Jesus' signs which revealed his glory. And as a result, his disciples believed in him. And I thought, here are three more big clues. Firstly, this was a sign from Jesus. So signs are usually pointing us towards something, or within themselves they give information. So we are being asked, can we see what this sign from Jesus is pointing to, or what lies within it? And then the second big clue is that this sign revealed Jesus' glory. So what is the glory of Jesus that's being revealed? That he could miraculously turn water into wine? Well, we had the reference at the beginning to the resurrection of Jesus, the event of world-transforming significance. Then we have the clay water jars that are used for Jewish ritual cleaning. These are transformed. They are filled with an abundance of superb wine, more than enough to satisfy all who needed it. And these are pointers to the significance of the resurrection and the glory that Jesus is revealing. Jesus is transforming the law and ritual focused covenant of the Jewish people, and he is bringing a new covenant, the new wine of Jesus' saving resurrection power. It's wine that's delicious, and it's seemingly crazy in its abundance. This is the grace that has been poured out for all the world, freely given and plenty for everyone. All because he willingly shed his blood on the cross. Blood that we remember in the wine that we share around the communion table. A final clue I found is in the last sentence from the story. His disciples believed in him. And that this is the response that the story calls us to. Mary showed us how we can relate to Jesus, and the disciples show us how we are to respond. We are called to put our faith in Jesus, in his power revealed here. And even more, as the gospel story will unfold, it will culminate in the cross and in his resurrection glory. To put our faith in the gospel. Every week in our Tuesday evening Connect group here, we read a passage from the Bible three times. And after each time, we share a word or a phrase with the group that jumps out for us. We then try together to discern what these words or phrases could be saying to us. What is God saying? And I've just shared with you what I discerned in my prayerful reflection on the story of the wedding at Cana in Galilee. However, there's still far, far more in this story to learn. And I think if every one of us read it, we would discern something different or significant for us. God speaks to us all individually and personally through his word. And God reveals different things at different times in our lives. So I encourage you, take your service booklets home with you and prayerfully reread the story of the wedding at Cana. How might Jesus speak to you through the story? I know that if I reread the story again in a few days, new words and symbols will stick out. As with the jars of wine, God's word will never run dry when we seek to know him and his purposes. God will speak to us through his word in the way that works for us. This may be through personal Bible reading or with others in a connect group or as we listen together on a Sunday morning in church. Perhaps you've got an opportunity to listen to a Bible podcast when you're on the tube or on the bus on your way to work. Jesus is offering a vivid, sparkling, and exhilarating new wine. It can fill our life abundantly, a never-ending source of inspiration and joy. Jesus asks us, do we have ears to listen and hearts open to believe in him? Amen.